today for a number of years, and I'm really thrilled that he's with us today. I'm sure you all know him, but I'll give a very brief introduction of him. And he started his career as an academic. He spent 10 years as a professor, and then he was the chairman of the business section of a state university in the U.S. And in 1992, he started Global Marketing Systems, which has become the largest cash buyer of ships for Italian. And I'm sure is that So it's very interesting that Andreas has really become one of the key figures in international global shipping. He has been named among the top 100 most important people on Lloyd's list for 11 consecutive years. And the fact that he made the transition from academic to an extremely successful and well-known businessman, he really find a name. Anyway, we are frankly honored to have him with us today because with what he does, really has his finger on a lot of critical topics that affect the industry today. And they mentioned the largest cash buyer for ships for recycling. He's also a very large ship owner with a fleet of 34 vessels. And we are going to talk today about three main topics. We're going to talk about vintage ships, we'll talk about ship recycling, and we'll talk about the great fleet, something that we touched a little bit during the day, but I think one of the most important topics. So, Andreas, thank you for being with us. And let me start with the idea of the vintage vessels, vintage fleet. We all know that vintage wine vessels gets older. It seems to cannot lie the same on ships. So Andreas has built, I mean, here we have an era where everybody talks about fleet modernity, fleet efficiency, and so on. But Andreas has built an amazing concept of operating a mixed fleet, many types of vessels, that are middle bit of age. So I'd like to ask you, what is the concept, the practical elements behind this question? How does it work? And what are the advantages of running a ship like that, that in a field like that?
First of all, because I've never been introduced in such a glorious manner, so thank you very much. It's a joy to be in Cyprus. I think it's a beautiful place. Really impressed with the energy and that's in this room and what you create here at Heavenly. So thank you. Where do I start? Vintage vessels. So, you know, coming from the recycling background, having taken my career at the port and sold about 5,000 ships, and you go through so many vessels in all types of vessels and offshore platforms, you try to understand a little bit of what is called residue value, the bottom line, the scrap value of an asset. And so we started looking at these assets, even though officially, you know, Lila Global, the company that owns these ships, is just very recent, about 4 years ago. I've been buying these ships since 2005, normally as JVs with various ship owners, just making investments, feeling the market. And we were fortunate most of the times our investments were all right. And it's only a few years ago, we still do JVs, but only in very specific areas where there is great synergy between the owner and what you're trying to do. So for us, it's a natural thing to say, okay, we are looking at residual value. And if you see a ship that is 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old, that's not too much demand. Normally, the kind of these vessels were being bought by owners were small ones, about 4 or 5 ships. And so I like scale, even in ship recycling, you buy about 150 ships a year. So it's only through scale you can increase efficiency. So I thought, why not go into mid-age, vintage vessels and create a whole fleet of 1,500 ships. They operate them well, efficiently, have professional managers. And if you get the timing right, you can, you know, airports are all right. And so that's what we did. And we started with containers. And we were very fortunate that the timings were good. We had a fleet of Anamex containers and feeders. And then COVID happened and the market started turning. So we ended up selling that fleet. We thought Tankers was a good space. So we had bought some VLCC space, Max Opera, Seller 1, Seller 2. We went through all the spaces, MUX. And that was also quite interesting. Our timing seemed to be all right. And then suddenly the market took off. We thought, hey, this is not something that we can really run efficiently. There are others, legacy owners, who can do a better job. And so we sold that. We had to simultaneously do travel. So we just been fortunate in getting that timing up. So my point is, you know, when you look at these shipping, I think that this demand, and we have been talking today, the volatility and uncertainties, and all this is going to be, and I have no place to be and build new ships. I'm not a legacy owner. My contribution to the maritime industry comes in this space. We have Dr. Ray, who has joined us after 32 years with Class NK. He just looks at the fleet and tries to find how we can improve efficiency of these ships. And we have major charters who charter our ships, and they're very happy as long as our ships perform. Our delta entry points are normally yours, so we can survive a downturn. So that model has worked, and our owners in this room is in the ships. We have tenants who run some of our ships. So I think it's a good industry. I love it. And Andrei.
Well, it is very interesting that, as I pointed out, you have owners who are focusing on the modern vessels, the fleet, the fuel efficient vessels, and so on. And of course, there will be other hopes that you will see more circular cycling because that impacts the fleet supply. And fleet supply will impact freight rates. But I think what you are doing is absolutely fascinating because clearly, ships older than 20 years of age will be more touched. So you would focus really on the section between 16 years old and 20. And during that time frame, vessels still have an economic life, and if they're fairly repainted in, they can be traded good. So I understand that I would love to discuss the other day's views also because, the middle-aged vessels can ultimately produce 5 tons, depending, of course, on the state of the vessel, how they're maintaining it. So you have to elaborate on the complexities of managing a fleet of that nature, especially as mixed.
Yeah, ship is steel, and if you maintain your steel well, I think, again, it depends on the category of vessels. For example, capes probably get beaten up a bit. In the container segment, it's relatively easy. We have a lot of very old feeder containers that are still in the water. Certain vessels, we have stainless steel tankers, J19s, that has a long shelf life. Cruise ships, as you can see, very old ships. During COVID days, we even bought a cruise ships, 8 of them, and that can work also very well still. So we have been all over this industry. And age is just a relative thing. If you maintain your ships dry, I think you could. Now, having said that, we are reaching a stage where, except for certain segments, most segments are going to get hit. And so the good thing about what we do is GMS, which is our core business, is going to be very, very busy. And so now's the time to start, getting this fleet out. We are selling our own ships. We have global ships, everything. I think it's only 4 or 5. So I think it's that transition we're able to move. And one thing, people say, okay, these are not sustainable and ESG and stuff that way. If you look at it, we have a program. I've always believed in sustainability in ship recycling. We have a program called SHORP, Sustainable Ship and Offshore Recycling Program. It's the only DNV certified ship recycling program in the world. And we have recycled, I think, more than 100 ships. And various ship owners hire our team down in India to supervise this ship recycling. So when we get into ship ownership, we created another program called Carbon 360. And what this program does is looks at the life cycle assessment of a vessel from A to Z. Because I believe we would want to look at sustainability. We were talking about decarbonization here. You have to look at the entire life cycle assessment of a ship. Now, if you look at this LCA, 80% of the emissions come during operations of a vessel. 20% of the emissions come during shipbuilding. Some people say 40%, some people say 10%, but and even take so 20%. If you look at this 20% that comes in shipbuilding, 90% of this comes from new steel. So if you want to do a real life cycle assessment, you can even argue that at some stages, I'm not saying all this, until you check why this vintage shift makes sense, that there is a lot of movement towards fuel technologies, right? Are we going to build ships with methanol or other fuels of the future? And owners were sitting on the sidelines thinking what to build. And so we had a great transition to conventional fuels. Now, again, the world is going back into conventional. So if the change is incremental, I think vintage ships make sense. If suddenly you pick up a big change in shipping, I think then you should be opening further. I don't know if I answered your question, but I just did it.
Thank you. Now, let's move into the next question, Super Cycle. So I have two questions for you here. On one hand, how is this business evolving in terms of the standards in this business? And then how do you see the market developing? And how do you see fleet supply being affected today through the Super Cycle?
And so in about 4 months, we have the biggest regulation that's going to impact shipping cycling. IMO's UNCLOS Convention on Safe and Responsible Ship Recycling comes into effect on June 26th of this year. IMO had done a good job, gave us a 10-year head start to build the capacity to pre-recycle. And there are 97 yards in India that are now in UNCLOS Convention certified by IX Plus, 7 yards in Bangladesh, and all 25 yards in Papua from the convention for flying. So that's the one big thing. You know, you cannot anymore recycle ships in substandard yards. So it has to be in real yards. At the same time, you have this big influx of tonnage coming in. For example, I think in the last maybe 6 weeks, we have bought almost 8 or 9 steam turbine LNGs per recycling. So that, you know, in 2012 was the biggest year in ship recycling. We recycled about 60 million deadweight of ships. After that, there was a steady decline. And 2024, last year, was the slowest year. It was less than 10 million deadweight. So you had in all these years this overhang of tonnage. New buildings were coming in, meeting demand. So as soon as, you know, the supply-demand equation, as soon as demand goes out, all of a sudden, there's this big rush of ships that are coming in. Simultaneously, you have Hong Kong Convention, so you have, instead of 300 yards, you have 130 yards that can recycle the ships. So I'm afraid at some stage, I feel there might be a perfect storm of just incredible supply tonnage, and then plus limited yard. And you've not asked me this, but there's this other question mark about the dark fleet.
Definitely. That was the next one.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
That is actually now
we kept the thumbnail for
So, what, about 1,000 ships? Some people say travel rate 1,400, so these are either dark fleet. And these are all vintage vessels. You know, my company is based in Dubai. The unfortunate thing is when I say I have vintage ships and I'm based in Dubai, people start smiling and that's about. I don't know, maybe you're a citizen, I can't do this. So anyway, out of this, about 183 ships are in this section. So obviously we don't do any other sanctioned vessels, but in India you can start recycling sanctioned vessels. Already I think 2 VLCCs, 2 1 Suezmax and 1 Aframax has been delivered. In a way, even though we don't do it, we see that as good. I think it's good for the industry. Because you need to clear out this dark fleet, this section of vessels. Bangladesh doesn't allow, Pakistan doesn't allow, I don't know, Turkey has not been tested. And so that is coming out. And of course, the ships are being sold at a heavy discount, about 15% of the normal street price. So what it does is owners who have vintage assets, that also depresses that part. But owners who have modern assets, that's music to their ears, because we take out this 500 ships or 1,000 ships. Suddenly it builds a nice capacity for modern ships to go to nowhere.
So, and then let me ask if I understood correctly. Samsung ships cannot trade, but Samsung ships can also not be recycled.
Sanctioned ships are trading, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're already speaking, sir. Already speaking, they sanctioned them, so they've done trade. But do the sanctions also apply to just the moment of recycling? It makes it more difficult.
Well, for Indian trash buyers, we just India as vessels. So of course, now with Trump coming in, and Modi already being in Washington, trying to appease them, one Indian receivers, the PSUs, they're from the public sector units that import these energy. What they are saying is that, okay, as long as you bring a cargo in a clean ship, that matters. So what we are seeing is increasingly in SDS happening from unclean ships to clean ships and these cargoes coming in. But what I'm going to say is the sanctioned ships, the way they come into India is the transaction happens in Indian rupees. And I would not name centers, but there are centers where Indian rupees can be changed into another currency, then into another currency, then into real estate, and finally into US dollars. So I'd say it's a very interesting trade that it's happening.
Great. Anyway, so concluding our discussion, maybe I can ask you what you see as the major opportunity or the major challenge today in the market world.
I think for me, you know, I think Madan was saying with the traders, I'm a trader as well. I've been buying and selling ships. To me, it's a commodity. And we have been through so many. You know, the thing is, what black swan events are not more recurring. What used to happen in a decade happens almost on a weekly basis. And the idea is always to be prepared for this, because every risk and opportunity is two sides of a coin. I mean, there's no point complaining. What I see is the regulation, obviously, the technology, obviously. But mainly, I think for us, it's going to be the year of ship recycling. It's going to be very, very busy. And we're already seeing freight rates coming down in all sectors. And I think the feeder segment is still holding on. Containers, tankers are already starting to come up. So, but anyway, it's going to be a fun ride.
And thank you very much for joining me. I will apply this word myself so I cannot exceed the time, but too long. Thank you for really joining us today. I'm very curious to have you there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.